Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. Our scripture today comes from Matthew 7 and 7. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. I'm just going to sing a little of something that's been on my heart all day. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Master, Master, Master. Master, Master, Master. Master, Master, Master. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today, God. We come with a heart full of gratitude, Master. Grateful, God, because you have never left us. We have felt we were all alone, but you were ever present in so many ways, at so many times, in so many things, oh God. You were with us. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the listeners, God. Thank you, God, because we ask right now in the name of Jesus that their hearts will be open to receive your word, God. This is your word. This is not our word. This is not my word. This is yours. We ask, oh God, that you open up their hearts. Open up our hearts so we can hear you. It can penetrate in our lives that we can use the word daily. Apply it to everything that we do, everything that we touch, everything that we say. We ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to keep blessing us, God. Protect us, God. We know that the weather is supposed to be real bad, God, but we stand on your truth that you have the hedges, oh God. Oh, God, you have hedges that are surrounding us, God. We are protected because we're covered with the blood. Oh, and we thank you, God. We thank you in advance because it's in Jesus' holy name. We say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I just love that song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Woo! Master, Master, Master. Master, Master, Master. Master, Master, Master. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's good to be able to have a tune, have a song that lifts you up when you're feeling low, when you're down, or whatever's going on with you. Just to hum a little song, a little tune that reassures you that he's right there with you. He's right there. No matter what the enemy try to do, no matter what he try to make you think, when we hear this little we just hum. He's ever present. He's ever present. And we say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for each one of you who have come and to hear the word, hear what God has to say to us. Yeah, because he's the teacher. He teaches. He is the greatest teacher. Yeah, so tonight we're just going to be talking about where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? So what are you asking for? Anybody asking for anything? Who are you trying to find? Are you seeking and knocking at the right door? Because, you know, many times we could be seeking and we could be knocking. But every knock and everything that we're seeking and we're looking at is all wrong. It's the wrong thing. It's not where we should be. So are you looking for Jesus? Where is Jesus? Have you ever needed chances to be in the presence of Jesus and you had to stop. Stop. Whatever your schedule was or whatever you were doing, at that very moment you had to stop and get quiet and seek his presence. Have you ever experienced that? Mm-hmm. Something had come up unexpectedly. Some urgent situation had taken place, and you needed to seek Jesus. How many of you have heard folks say, when is Jesus coming? Now, we didn't hear that a lot of times. People didn't say that, and I'm pretty sure they didn't say it to you just like they didn't say it to me. Well, when is Jesus coming? How long have you been saying that he was coming? People say that. They say that all the time, especially those who are not in Christ. Because, see, the real believers who are in Christ know that Jesus is ever present. He's here with you. He's right here with you now. Yes. So where is Jesus? I remember a situation where when I was in school and I had a death in the family. It was really a shocking situation, and I was at a graduation to school. We were at the graduation, and my instructor found out that I was in this state. And so my instructor came to me, and his words were, and I'll never forget this, because no one has ever said this to me. He said, what do you want Jesus to be right now? What do I want him to be? I said, what I want him to be right now is to be my comfort. I need to be comfort. I was in a state of shock. This was someone had died, got killed in our family, and I was in a state of, like, devastation. And for him to ask me, what did I want Jesus to be? And I said, but I wanted him to be my comfort right now. I needed to be comfort. I needed him to be my comfort. And he said immediately to me, he is so. He is so. Whatever you want, all you have to do is ask. Glory to God. Huh? Think about that. Think about that. I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. So whatever you desire, wherever you are, and whatever is going on in your life, what do you want Jesus to be? Think about that. Uh-huh. So we know that people are always asking us, well, when is Jesus coming? I mean, you know, how long? He was coming, you know, when, we were like little children. We were waiting on Jesus to come. And you know, Jesus hasn't come yet. And, you know, we've been waiting a long time. You know, and they just go on and on and on with, when is Jesus coming? Does this sound interesting? Does this sound like something you have experienced? Hopefully we can track. We're going to track Jesus. We're going to track him. You know, like people say, we tracking Santa Claus. That's what the world says. They're tracking Santa Claus. They'll be saying that Christmas Eve, tracking him. Then he's coming from the North Pole. Well, we're going to track Jesus. And we're going to start tracking Jesus right in the book of St. Matthew. Yeah, we're going to track him too. We're going to track Jesus. And we see that in chapter 1, verse 17, it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. A lot of information on the lineage, the family lineage. Chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 23 have the records that are recorded pertaining to the family, his lineage. Yes. Of Jesus. And you know, it is so important that even we who are in Christ, yes, should have this type of information on our own families. Yeah. We should know something about our great-great-grandmother. If it's no more than, what was her name? Where did she live? Huh? Yeah, we should know something. So here in Matthew, the story starts off about Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph. This story took place in the book of Matthew. And it took place in a place called Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and the place was called Nazareth. Okay, yeah, let's be clear. And so it says here that Mary and Joseph, were here. And Mary was engaged to be married, to be betrothed to Joseph. Yeah. But it says here that, I'm just paraphrasing it a little bit, and it says that in this book, in Matthew's, an angel came to Mary. And the angel came to Mary to tell Mary about a wonderful thing that was getting ready to happen. And she was asked to be a part of it. She was asked. Listen to what I said. She wasn't forced. She was asked to be a part of that. Isn't that something? Now, think about that. You know, the thought just came to my mind when, you know, today we hear that people are talking about women who, with the abortion and things of this nature, and they consider it to be killing of children and things, you know, the way they perceive it. And then we know that some women have had to have serious surgeries because the birth of the child would cause the parent to die. So we have witnessed a lot of things that have taken place in this area pertaining to females. Even a baby has been, for some strange reason, a baby was in the tube instead of actually a form of an egg that would be normally in the uterus, but the baby was in the tube of the mother instead of in the proper area. And so different things had to take place. So here we see, and we're just hitting on this just a little bit, here we see Mary. She is getting ready to do something that a lot of us wish we had had the opportunity to do. She's getting ready to deliver baby Jesus. Huh? Think about that. But I just want you to pay very close attention that she was asked. This was not anything that was forced upon Mary. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and told her what was getting ready to take place, but they needed her permission. And when you read this, it's not going to go so plain as what I'm saying. It's not going to be that plain. You have to read it. You read it one time, then you may have to get another translation and read it and get this complete understanding. She was asked. Yes. And she was so happy to take part in the birth of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So here we see the beginning where it all started with Jesus. So we're tracking Jesus. We're tracking him down. We're tracking him. So we see here that in chapter 1, we talked about the genealogist. We talked about the family, the lineage. And here we coming down into chapter 2. And we're talking about chapter 2, verse 19, and it says here that when Jesus was getting ready to come on the scene, when he was getting ready to have, Mary was getting ready to give birth to Jesus, there was a king, and his name was Herod. He was upset. He was totally possessed with hating, being jealous of a baby. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. He was jealous of this baby. He didn't want this baby to actually come, not into this earth, not at this given time. It says here in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, when Herod died, after Herod's death, yeah, he died. You know, a lot of times we wait a long time for an enemy to die, huh? But he did. And this shows you right here in chapter 2, verse 19. It says, when he died, it said, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And the angel told him, it said, he has an enemy, and the enemy will exist no more. He's deceased. So verse 20 says, rise unto the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought to kill this child is no longer, no longer living. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying. So look here. We see that Jesus, his father, his heavenly father, let me be clear, his heavenly father was watching and protecting over him, even as an infant. Huh? Think about that. And, you know, a lot of times we have our little insecurities ourselves, and we wonder if Jesus is really taking care of me, if he's really with me. Well, look at this. He's watching over Jesus as a baby. Think about when you were little, when you were a toddler, or when you didn't know how to talk. A lot of things could have happened. But our Heavenly Father, glory to God, was watching. He was watching over us. Chapter 3 says Jesus goes into Galilee, okay? So the time frame here is Jesus has kind of grew up. He's grown. He may not be totally, but he has grown up. And it says that Jesus goes into Galilee, to Jordan, to John, and Jesus wants to be baptized. Oh, you listen to me. So we're following Jesus. We're following his footsteps. We're following the places that he went. And it says Jesus goes to Galilee. And so it says here that John felt that he should not baptize Jesus because he felt that he was not worthy of this great task because Jesus was special and he didn't feel that he should even unlatch his sandals. Yeah, that's how he felt. The holiness, he felt the total acknowledgement, honoring, and adoration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't feel that he was worthy. Glory to God. How many times do we feel that we are not worthy? Huh? Of course, the enemy, when he hears us that we think this way, he capitalizes on us. And he wants to keep us feeling and thinking that we are not worthy. But listen to this. Jesus tells John. Listen to what Jesus said. Glory to God. Jesus tells him this. Verse 15, he says, look, here. He says, look at this. And Jesus goes into being completely humble. The humbleness that Jesus has is so awesome. He's so awesome with being humbled. Yes. And it says here that he humbles himself. This is what Jesus does. And he taught John, and he told John the Baptist, he said one thing. You should go forth with this baptism because there is something that you need, that's something that you need to do, and there's something that I need to do. And in order to get the job done, we both have to come together to do this. Now, this is Jesus' words. I just paraphrased that. But the point I want you to get is when Jesus was talking to John, John received what Jesus said. So how many of us would have humbled ourselves in such a way that we would have demanded someone to just be humbled? That we just would have demanded that they humble themselves, huh? And allow them to be baptized as Jesus did. See, John humbled himself to what Jesus was saying. And what was true was that
in order for the thing to be fulfilled. You see, the prophecy had to be fulfilled that Jesus would be baptized and that his father is going to see him and his father is going to say, this is my son of whom I am well pleased. When the dove flies on him, you know the story? But in order for that to take place, John had to baptize Jesus. But here we see John didn't feel that he was worthy. So Jesus had to talk him into it. Have Jesus ever talked you into something? Have Jesus ever had to tell you that you're capable, that you can do it? Come on, my sister. Come on, my brother. You can do this. Huh? So where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? We're looking at him right here. We're looking at Jesus. In chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tested and to be tried by the devil, to be tried by the enemy, to be tried by Satan. Where are you, Jesus? Where are you? I need you to bookmark this. And the reason why I want you to bookmark this is simple. To be separated from your folks and to go through a test, whether it's physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. But look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He went. Look at Jesus. And as he did this, his main words, as he was being tested, as he was being tried, his main words were, man cannot live by bread alone. Glory to God. But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Right, listen at that. Listen at that. So this is telling us that when we're in a test, when we're being tried, when we're being pruned, huh? When we're being beaten, when we're being stumped on, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. Feeling all alone, you've been thrown into the wolves, your body is under attack. Why me? Why me, Lord? Sound like anybody? Why me? Huh? Verse 2 says, 40 days and 40 nights. Now remember, he had no food. Think about that. No food. I don't know. No food. But you confess with juice. Think about it. When you put your mind to what has to be done, when you begin to think clearly that I can do all things through Christ, come on now. He comes to all of us to make us feel we're on the wrong side. This is the job of Satan. But Jesus never comes to folks, beating them down, making them feel insecure, making them feel unworthy. He would never do that to us. So where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? God has placed a hedge of protection around us, around each and every one of us. We have a hedge of protection around us. He said he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. Mm-mm. So many times when we don't realize that we need some type of protection, he puts it up for us. Glory to God. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed, that is fashioned against you shall succeed. And you shall confirm every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of servants of our Lord and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Think about that. So when you're feeling all by yourself, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling alone, he's right there with you. He's right there with you. He's ever present with you. Yes. Let us pray. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God. Thank you, God, as we continue to look to see where you are. What are you doing? How you have prepared the way for us. Oh, we ask you, Master, in the name of your son, Jesus, to guide us, to protect us, to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor. It's in your name, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we just say amen. 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 Now listen, tomorrow morning is a special morning for us. We know that prayer is very important. Prayer is important. So tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock, set your clocks for 10 o'clock. Oh, and don't forget tomorrow evening, the time changes. So you need to set your clock. I would say set your clock tomorrow morning for the new time. And that way it's already set. But tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock, God Favorites Ministry will have prayer time on the same line, same number. You can call and you can lift up the name of Jesus through prayer and just adoration and just calling on him and letting him know how grateful you are, how thankful you are for the many blessings that he continues to shower upon you. Yes. And we know that he showers blessings because he's just that kind of God. Yes. So if you're breathing, you got a brain, yes. If you're eating, it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of him. Because he comes to bless. He comes to restore us. He comes to bring us to the place where we need to go. Yes. On that journey, heaven bound, We hear about the pearly gates. We hear about it. Where the rivers flow through, the mansions that'll be there. This is what he has prepared for us. So we're just tracking Jesus. And we will be tracking Jesus this month, the month of November. We're tracking Jesus. Yes. Just as the world tracks Santa, we're tracking Jesus. Because we need to track Jesus. We need to learn more about him. We need to learn the attributes and what Jesus has in store for us. So again, we just want to remind you tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock. And remember, in Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon that is formed against you. And many times there are many weapons. But none is going to prosper. You who are in Christ. You who are in Christ. Okay? So we be blessed. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes, we are blessed. And we are highly favored. Remember that. You are blessed. And highly favored, you who are in Christ, you are who are walking by faith and not by sight, you are highly, highly blessed. Yes. And we thank God. We thank God. We give him all praise. All honor belongs to him. Yes, even though we know that the enemy comes and tries to make us feel insecure, lonely. Oh, yeah, this is the season when he tries to make us feel lonely. But we put all our trust in the Most High God. Be blessed in Jesus' name.